Well, amen. It is good to be back in the Word of God with you this morning. If you have looked at the outline on the back of your bulletin, you will notice we have much to cover today. And I have shared this message before, and I sense the Lord leading us back to it because it's one that I need to hear quite often. And it's based on cross-training by Dr. Greg Frizzell. And this is just a holistic checklist to assist believers in examining our hearts that can really lead us to a deeper fellowship with the Father. And as we turn the page on this new year, it's a great time to take a step back and evaluate where we really are spiritually. I feel like many of us we're ready for something like this. These are seven areas that can easily just slip under the radar when we get into the ruts of our daily routines. And so I just want to encourage all of us to listen closely to God's voice as we go through this. Man, I've been letting this examine my heart all week, and so I trust that you'll do the same. But we can claim the full forgiveness that is promised in 1 John 1:9. Verse 5 there in 1 John 1 says this: "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." And so as we go through these seven categories, I encourage you to just allow the Word of God to examine your heart and take a close and honest look and honestly answer the questions that follow. Number one on your outline is thoughts. First thing we'll look at are our thoughts. And so a question to consider: do I have any sinful thought patterns that I need to confess and forsake? Thoughts are interesting, aren't they? Because most of us have developed a pretty good filter between what we think and what we say, so that others have pretty much no idea what's really going on inside our heads. I don't know if you can relate or not, but if I'm completely honest, it is shocking where my thoughts, my mind is capable of going if I don't practice self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit that I desperately need. I've heard it described as thoughts of the heart and thoughts of the mind. Thoughts of the mind, they just kind of come and go. But thoughts of the heart, we ruminate on. We've heard that word before. It's the same word that describes an animal chewing its cud. And while it's a disgusting picture, it is accurate. Because those same thoughts, they keep coming back. And they may go away for a little while, but then they come back. And it's not long before we are just chewing on them again. Thoughts of the heart, they stick around. We dwell on them. And many times, that's when they have a better chance of becoming sinful thought patterns, when we continue to just keep on going. We come back to it and we let our minds go. Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on, think on these things." Make these things the thoughts of your heart, the thoughts that you ruminate on, not the things that can lead to sinful thought patterns. Romans 12:1-2, "I beseech you, I beg you, Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Another translation says, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we have seen it before. That phrase, living sacrifice, it's a bit of an oxymoron because sacrifices were dead. But a living sacrifice must choose to stay on the altar. A living sacrifice must choose to not be conformed to this world. A living sacrifice must choose to renew our minds and to think on these things, like the passages we just read. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive into obedience of Christ. Now, it's a powerful verse, but it's easy to get lost in the wording. So we got to understand, we live in these bodies, but we walk by faith. We are living for more than we can see. We walk by faith, not by sight. But there is a spiritual battle going on, but we are equipped with mighty weapons. We are fighting a battle that He has already won. These weapons that He's given us, they are strong enough to overcome. According to verse 5, our thoughts can exalt themselves against God. And I don't think any of us would argue with that. They can exalt themselves against God and His Word, against the truth. And so I must take every thought captive and put it under the authority of and obedience to Jesus Christ. So, church, do we have any thought patterns that have exalted themselves against God and against His Word, against the truth that the Holy Spirit may be trying to bring up to you right now? Chances are, maybe as the day goes by, if you will tune in, you will recognize them. Do I frequently have unclean or impure thoughts? If so, what is the root of that? Could it be the stuff that I'm watching? Is my mind often dominated by worldly thoughts? I have to get more money, more stuff, more success. What's the root of that? Is it a heart that's not fully devoted to Jesus? Am I often critical? What would people say that know us the best? Am I frequently filled with fear rather than faith? Do I have bitter thoughts? Am I mostly selfish in my thinking? I know as we listen to these questions, it's really easy to think, man, I wish this person was here. I hope they're listening. But man, we got to apply it to ourselves. Let the Holy Spirit speak to all of us, including me. Are there any thoughts that I know I should confess and forsake? Number 2 is attitudes. Any attitudes? Do I have attitudes that I need to confess and lay before my Father? God said this to the lukewarm church in Revelation 3, 15 and 16. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. What does this have to do with attitudes? Well, God's word tells us that the meh attitude that this towards the things of God makes Him sick. Just an attitude of indifference. You know, I could take it or leave it. I really don't care. That's lukewarm. How many of us are making our Savior sick by the indifference that we have towards doing what He's called us to do and building His kingdom rather than building our own? What about an attitude of pride? 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7. All of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Now, there is an entire series of messages about pride and God's view of it. But don't we know that we are all capable of embracing pride? I don't have to work at putting me first. I have to work at putting God first. I have to work at putting others first. But I need to confess an attitude of pride, selfishness. Maybe for you it's an attitude of doubt. Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, we live by faith, not by sight. Faith is why we are here today. I mean, you're here, it's the early service. You got to have some faith to come to the early service. Faith has changed our eternities. I wonder when some of us may have stopped living in faith. We started believing the lies that Satan loves to feed us daily, hourly, every moment. See, we all work through doubts, and I believe doubts in our faith. I believe that's part of working out our salvation with fear and trembling that Philippians 2:12 speaks of. But we always have to come back around and trust God, even when it doesn't make sense. Even when life doesn't make sense. Faith is choosing to trust rather than choosing to doubt. And there are times in all of our lives, we just have to make that choice because we know it's the right thing to do, even though we're not feeling it. What about an attitude of unkindness? Ephesians 4:1-3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, again, I beg you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So some questions that I need to ask God. We need to ask ourselves, am I lukewarm in any way? Is there any area in my life that I need to be more passionate for Jesus? Do I have an attitude of arrogance or pride? Do I have an attitude of anxiety or doubt? Am I harsh or unkind to others in any way? Do I have any prejudice? Do I have an attitude of materialism or worldliness? Again, I'm capable of all the above. And that's why I need to stay on top of confession and repentance. Are there any attitudes that we need to confess today? That leads to number three, our speech. Our speech. You know, as the church, as believers who claim Christ on our lives, our speech should be different from those who don't know him. So hear the word of the Lord in Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So a couple of things that stand out in that verse to me is what I say necessary, and does what I say impart grace to people who hear? Is it necessary? Does it impart grace? Notice Ephesians 5:3-5. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And so just notice there that the Word of God puts sins of speech in the same category as fornication, because they're both not fitting for the people of God. And those who may have trouble with it, don't really want to see it like that, who may have trouble with what we're saying, our speech, but we got to hear the word of God. We got to test our lives against the word of God. Colossians 3:9. Don't lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds. 1 Corinthians 10:10. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. We could probably think of people that we know that are always complaining all the time. They're always looking for something to complain about. As God's people, we should not be that way. As God's people, we We have reason to have joy in all situations rather than complain. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So some questions to ask ourselves. Do I ever use inappropriate speech? Am I guilty of cursing? Have I participated in off-color jokes? Am I prone to exaggerating or lying? Do I frequently complain? Am I guilty of divisive speech? That's saying something that stirs the pot and plants negative thoughts about someone in someone else's mind. Have I been critical or harsh? Are there any sins of speech that I need to confess to Jesus and flee from? That leads to number four, our relationships. Our relationships. Do I have any damaged or wrong relationships that I need to address? Consider all your relationships. How about the ones here at church? Matthew 5, 23 through 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. See, our God is the God of reconciliation, and God's people should be the first to reconcile. I mean, why would anyone want to be a part of this group in this place if all we do is harbor discord among ourselves? Matthew 6, 14 through 15. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's been said like this. We are never more like Jesus than when we forgive. We're never more like Jesus than when we forgive. And I will never forget in my studies several years ago when the Lord just kind of spoke to me and said, bitterness counts. Bitterness counts. So if I'm harboring bitterness, man, that counts, and I've got to let it go. Consider your relationships here. Consider your relationships at home. Ephesians 5, several places here. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Verse 33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his wife as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. Chapter 6 continues, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. You know, it probably wouldn't be a stretch to say that some of our homes don't exactly honor God. And so I speak to the guys here. We get the most instructions in this passage because it starts with us. It is possible that some of our marriages don't honor God. A long time ago, we, as the guys, as the husbands, we let selfishness win. And now we're stuck in this crazy cycle that doesn't honor God. And maybe today is the day that you begin to right the ship. Some questions that we need to honestly ask the Lord. Are there people that I've offended, yet I haven't been obedient and gone to talk with them, talk through it? Is there anyone that I'm holding a grudge or bitterness against? Have any of my relationships gotten out of balance? As a husband, have I failed to be the spiritual leader of my home? As a wife, are you neglecting your role to respect your husband and be the helper that God has called you to be? Are there any rifts between me and fellow believers that I've allowed to develop and even fed and watered? Have I played a divisive or conflicting role here in my church family? Are there any relationships that you need to confess and begin to work on here today. It leads to number five, our habits. Our habits. Do I have any habits, any actions that I need to confess and forsake? Ephesians 5 again. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Verse 12, for it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. What is God saying to you through his word? 2 Corinthians 6:17, God calls us to come out from among them and be separate. Them here is unbelievers. Come out from them and be separate, be set apart, be holy, because God is holy. The first commandment, Exodus 23, you shall have no other gods before me. Think of our habits. Do we put anything in front of God? 1 John 3:18 through 22, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth, in our habits. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Some questions that we need to ask ourselves. Have I been involved in any kind of immorality? Do I abuse my body with unhealthy habits? Have I put other people or things ahead of God? Have I compromised my values? Do I mistreat others in any way? Have I gone places I shouldn't go? Could the things that I watch ever be considered questionable? And I know these are difficult questions to ask, but it's because we have avoided difficult questions like these that we end up down the roads we should not be on. Take a moment and think about it. Are there any habits that the Lord has brought to your attention? We're almost done. Thoughts, attitudes, speech, relationships, actions, or habits. Number six is sins of omission. Sins of omission. To omit means to leave something out. John 15, 4 through 5, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That word abide, it means to take up residence in Christ. I am the vine, he continues. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. How many times are we guilty of not abiding in Christ? Not taking up residence in the Word and what it says, but we've pitched a tent somewhere else, and that's where we're living. Ephesians 4, 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. See, our minds as believers are made new in Christ, but we still have to be constantly renewing our minds each and every day with the things of God. James 1, 22 and following, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. That perfect law of liberty. Church, that's God's word. And when we allow God's word to audit these areas of our lives, and we allow it to change us the way nothing else can, that's when we experience true freedom in Christ. The perfect law of liberty. Some questions to consider. Do I neglect abiding in Christ by ignoring daily Bible reading and prayer as much as possible? You know, this is not a legalistic list of things, boxes that we have to check. But we should want to be with the Lord. We should want to spend time with Him. Have I failed to discover and use my spiritual gift? Have I tolerated a spiritual stronghold in my life? Do I fail to work at deepening my marriage? Do I neglect to be a witness? Sins of omission. Finally, number 7, do I die to self? Do I die to self? Have I refused in any way, in any area of my life that God is calling me to die to? Have I refused it and tried to rely on my own strength? Look at these passages. Matthew 16, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. John 12, 24, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Has God instructed you to do something that you've ignored? Have you insisted on your way instead of God's? Have you ignored God's conviction in your life? Do I ever resist God's pruning in my life? Do I trust in methods and strategies more than I trust in God? See, when we sincerely confess our sins, God forgives. So during this time of reflection, I'm going to ask you to spend a moment asking God to fill you with His Holy Spirit and ask Him to help you rely on His wisdom and His power. And ask Him to spiritually cleanse you, the habits in your life. Because when we do, then we can truly live out Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. As you bow your heads and close your eyes, what has God said to you through His Word today? Again, this is a spiritual cleansing, not spiritual condemnation. And He says in His Word, we read it, the first passage that we read. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you hear a voice of condemnation, that is not God's. A voice of conviction, yes, that's God's, but not condemnation. And He longs to bring up sin in your life because He longs to forgive it. What has God said to you today? And what are you going to do about it? Lord,